is good to be here with you again this morning. It's been a little while. Nancy and I were talking about on the way here, when was the last time? And we couldn't put it together, but with our pulpit exchange schedule, it brings us around about every 2 years, almost every 2 years. And so it is good to be back here again. There's a story told about a school teacher, a Sunday school teacher who had given her class an assignment for the next week to read Isaiah chapter 9. And the next week she asked her class how many of them remembered to read the chapter. And all the hands went up. She said, "Wonderful, I have a piece of candy for anyone who can complete verse 2. And she said, the verse starts out, "The people who walk in darkness." Now, who can finish it? Well, the answers came forth. One said, "The people who walk in darkness use less electricity." Another one said, "No, the people who walk in darkness stub their toes a lot." Another one said, "No, the people who walk in darkness are usually burglars." And the last one said, "The people who walk in darkness could really use a flashlight." While these answers may apply, they don't finish the verse correctly. Without an offer of candy to you this morning, is there anyone here who that can finish that verse? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Okay, there's more. All right, let's turn to it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, "The people that walk in darkness, that walked in darkness, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Darkness may take on many forms, with physical, emotional, and spiritual effects. We really don't have to give much attention to mood studies to understand that darkness and light have a huge impact on us. Being in the dark is a place that many people are fearful and very uncomfortable. The one side note exception to that may be, and I'm not even sure how much it really is an exception, but maybe as Jesus described in John chapter 3, when he said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. "For every man that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." At times, operating under the cover of darkness, it can be used to man's perceived advantage. However, even hiding in the dark is not a place of comfort. For there's always a fear of being found out or discovered that is present. I had to think about the whole idea of the darkness and how people are afraid of the dark and they have great fear in the dark. It was some years ago there on the east side of Harrisburg, right off 81 at Progress Avenue, there is a Cracker Barrel restaurant up on the hill. And when that restaurant was built there, there was very little development that was done around it. Since then it has been built up. But it was one night that about a half an hour before closing, that there was a group of bandits that moved in on that restaurant and held the place up. And they were collecting purses and wallets and cell phones and jewelry. And they were heading out the door when the police arrived, and these men took off running for the hills. Now, when they got in the hills and they found out that it was dark up there, and there was a lot of brush and weeds, these men that were so brave and brash suddenly became very fearful lest the beast would get them that are out there that they perceived were on the hills, and start crying out to the police to come rescue them. This is what happens with darkness. People become very fearful in darkness, and especially when there's a lot of guilt there. We also have this expression sometimes that we use of being kept in the dark. It's an expression that we may be familiar with, and it's referring to being uninformed, ignorant, untaught, or deceived. But even in these places of darkness, we are uncomfortable and often feel vulnerable to many potential dangers. So who are these people that Isaiah is talking about that walked in darkness? And the way he has it written here, it's past tense. So it's something that has happened, the light has come. But who are these people that walked in darkness? Well, I turn to Isaiah, back a few chapters, to chapter 60. Isaiah 60, it tells us a little bit as to who these individuals are that walked in darkness. Isaiah 60 reads as this: Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So to answer the question, who are these people who walk in darkness? I believe as we look at this, we see in verse 2 that it's talking about the entire world population, the occupants of the earth. In verse 3, this is the point that I want to make with us this morning, and that is it's referring to the Gentiles, people who walked in darkness. What I think is so important about that is for us to think about, and that is when we think about Jesus coming as the light of the world, we think about he came for the world. Yeah, we might say, yeah, he came for me as well. But do we ever stop to think about that he came for me, a Gentile? It has always been God's intent and plan to bring salvation to the Gentiles, for which we should all be deeply grateful. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll see there that it was God's intent that the children of Israel would be the messengers to the entire world, the missionaries, if you want to say it that way, to the entire world to declare the greatness of God and to bring people to him. That was the Jews' responsibility. That was what God was asking them to be. We get into the church age. Now, he has given it to the church to do that. But the message of hope that God would bring his salvation to the Gentiles is a message that you see throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And even John the Baptist brought it out in chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, verse 6, when he said, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." Now let's turn to the text for this morning out of Luke chapter 2. The message this morning is entitled, "Hopeful While in the Dark." Hopeful while in the dark. We have seen, just in looking at this a little bit this morning, how people are fearful in the dark. Sometimes people have reasons to be fearful in the dark. Sometimes people are just fearful of the dark. But nevertheless, darkness and fear go somewhat hand in hand. When there is fear, hope is hard to find. When there is fear, hope is something that we don't even think about. But when we have hope, we can be hopeful while in the dark. This is one story from the scriptures about a man who was in the dark. Darkness was surrounding him all around, but he was very hopeful. This is the man Simeon that we're going to read about. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. It says here, and when 8 days were accomplished, what were the 8 days? Well, this was right when Jesus, 8 days after Jesus was born. We've looked at the verses before that. We had the account of the shepherds coming to visit Jesus at his birth. And now 8 days have passed, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This account and the verses following after this about Anna is a record of God's affirmation of his son at a very young age of 8 days old. And while it was spoken by the mouth of a man who lived in a great darkness surrounding him, he was full of hope, quite optimistic, and a bit inspirational, in spite of the heaviness of the surrounding darkness. How did he do it? What was the reason for his hopelessness, for his hopefulness, his optimism, and his joy? Well, let's consider a few things that Simeon possessed as he was hopeful while in the dark. First thing Simeon had here that gave him hope, and that was he expected the light. He expected the light. He was hopeful in the darkness because he expected the light. Verses 25 and 26, we see that. You know, living with expectation and anticipation is necessary if we are going to be hopeful people. If we have no anticipation or expectation of anything, we don't have hope in much of anything anywhere. Hope is something that is really fleeting in our society and in our nation today. People are longing for something to hope in. And because of that, they have no expectations. And they are grasping for something to put confidence in, to have their hope based on. And they have nothing. But Simeon here, he was expecting the light. Expecting the light for Simeon was like waiting for the sun to rise without knowing what time it is. I don't know if you ever have done that, where you have been out early in the morning before the sun rose. You may have had your watch and you knew what time it was and about the time when the sun would come up. But have you ever been out there waiting for the sun to come up and not knowing what time it was? The night gets long. The darkness gets heavy. And the night becomes very weary. In experiences this, without knowing what time it is, there's a constant eye kept on the horizon, searching for the first ray of light to shine in the darkness. One assurance that Simeon had, which gave him hope in the darkness, was a personal promise given to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. We see that in verse 26. We can only assume that Simeon did not know what setting that would be, or what form the Lord's Christ would be like when it was revealed. This took faith on Simeon's part to believe and wait through each day, keeping focused all the while, knowing that he was growing older and approaching nearer to his death every day that was over him. But he waited. How long? We don't know. How would you feel? Or perhaps, how would you conduct your life if you knew that you would not die until there was a certain event that took place? Would you look for the event so that you could die in peace? Or would you turn a blind eye to the event so that you could continue in assurance of life? Think about this. Simeon was told he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And the fact that he was looking for him, he was ready to die. He was okay to go. For us, even today, even through Jesus, the light of the world has shown himself to us, and the darkness still exists. If our expectation of Jesus coming back again is as real as Simeon's expectation was, we also can face every day with a hopefulness and a confidence in the Lord's promise and ability to perform them. To be hopeful while in the darkness, Simeon first, live with the expectation of light. And secondly, he recognized the light. Would it not have been a sad state for Simeon if he would have been expecting the light but missed seeing him because he did not recognize him? You know, it would have been a sad thing if Simeon would have recognized Jesus only as a baby. Only as a baby. I think it's good that he could recognize him as a baby, but not only as a baby. He recognized him as the salvation. Verse 30. He recognized him as the salvation. Verse 32, he recognized him as a light. And again, verse 32, he recognized him as the glory of Israel. I used to look at older folks and say, what were they like as children? I still do that. But I think I spend more time looking at children and asking, what will they be like as grown-ups? That's what Simeon was doing. He knew something special about this child. How did he know it? Well, verse 25, it tells us the Holy Ghost was upon him. Part of that Holy Ghost presence was the Comforter abiding with Simeon as he waited. Simeon, in waiting, did not forget the promise revealed to him, and it gave him hope and comfort while waiting in the darkness. Verse 27, it says, he came by the Spirit into the temple. This speaks of the indwelling presence and the directing influence the Holy Spirit had on Simeon, but it also speaks about Simeon's surrender and commitment to God. When Jesus comes back the next time to rapture his people out of this world, only those that possess the Holy Spirit within them and willingly allow the Holy Spirit to direct them will recognize Jesus and be drawn to him and by him. To recognize Jesus as Simeon, we need to be like Simeon and need to be expecting him and looking for him. Simeon came into the temple that day looking expectantly for him. In verse 28 through 32, it shows us that Simeon recognized Jesus to be the salvation, the light, and the glory that God had intended to be. So Simeon, he expected the light, he recognized the light, and thirdly, to be hopeful in the darkness, we need to understand, as Simeon understood, the purpose for the light. I capped those a little bit, or mentioned those a little bit here already. But Simeon understood the purpose of the light to be, as it says in verse 32, to lighten the Gentiles. Can you imagine the reaction others in the temple had that day, or may have had that day, to Simeon's expression of blessing on the Gentiles? Now here Simeon is in the Jewish temple. And here is this Jewish couple with this little baby, and he is blessing the Gentiles through this little baby. To the Jews, the Gentiles were, and still are today, not a part of God's family. To many of the Jews, it is that way. The Gentiles were hated by the Jews and held them at an arm's length. They would not eat with them. They would not talk with them any more than what was necessary, and considered them to be equal to dogs or less, not as puppy dogs or pet dogs, but more as mongrels and strays and dogs with rabies. To the Jews, the Gentiles were considered to be losers, outsiders, and worthless, beginning with the Romans, which hated them with a passion. The Jews and the Gentiles both knew that this wall or partition was between them. In fact, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, said to Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 9, "Why are you even asking me for anything?" Jesus had just asked her for a drink. "Why are you even asking me, knowing that the Jews have no dealings at all with Samaritans? Why are you doing this?" was a question she asked him. You know, this viewpoint of Gentiles is still held today by many Jews. Nancy and I had just spent 4 days in New York City the other week interviewing the DNI workers. Part of that is the Jewish team. It's quite a challenge that they have in reaching into the Jewish communities. This, what I am saying about the way that the Jews look at the Gentiles, is very much of their experience. There's a few that will give them some consideration, but many of them hold them at arm's length and with very much suspicion. Simeon knew the purpose of the light was to lighten the Gentiles. He understood that this purpose was that God's intent was from the beginning that the whole world would know him. The second purpose for the light, which Simeon stated here, was to be the glory of Israel. So he stood there and he blessed this child as the light to lighten the Gentiles, and it was to be the glory of Israel. This child, John tells us, came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believed on him, on his name. Verse 34, Simeon prophesied, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Simeon predicted that this Christ child would be the center of much conflict. Many would stumble and fall as a result of encountering him, but many would also rise again because of him. This life of conflict and opposition which Jesus was to face would be very painful even to his own mother, as he says there in verse 35, like a sword piercing through her soul. This life of conflict, I believe, started soon after this experience, with the visit of the wise men and Herod's envious response to Jesus, the Christ child, as we read in Matthew 2. Hebrews 12, verse 3 also reminds us not to look away from Jesus' light because of the conflict and the opposition, but rather to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye also become wearied and faint in your minds. As we look at the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles, I find it's very interesting how God orchestrated and worked in the hearts and in the minds of the Jewish people in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that God was going to do something in the lives of the Jews by paying attention to the Gentiles, and it was going to make conflict. He says, "I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you." In other words, God is saying, "I'm going to stir up the Jewish people by bringing the gospel to the Gentiles." At this point, God is still extending his mercy to the Gentiles. Someday, he's going to bring the Jews in on it as well. And then in Romans 11:11, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. That is one of the problems that is between the Jews and the Gentiles, that the Jews are jealous of the Gentiles because the light has come to lighten the Gentiles. The third purpose that Simeon understood here, that the purpose for the light, and that was in verse 35, that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. And we can find different scriptures in the different references in the scriptures where Jesus knew the thoughts, knew their evil intents. He knew what the people were thinking. And he revealed it. He exposed it. There's not a thought or a motive which a man attempts to keep in the dark, which the Lord does not know about and will reveal in due time. For the Lord desires that all men would live in truth and not in hypocrisy. In conclusion, this Christmas season, I would encourage all of us to give careful attention to the great gift that God has extended to us in giving us Jesus, the light of the world. But particularly, give attention to the thought that he has given us a light to lighten the Gentiles. For me, it has been very helpful to think about that. Sure, we say Jesus came. He came to shed light on all the world, but what about on me? And what about on me as a Gentile? Can we grasp that? That in this time, when Jesus came, the Gentiles were far, far outside. It was not until the gospel came to them. And I think sometimes we just take it for granted, way too carelessly. So give particular attention to a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's who Jesus is. If we have that, we will have a hopefulness as we walk in the dark, as we are in the dark. It will give us a hope that we can hang on to. It will give us a hope that gives us a message and a hope that will secure us for the return of Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank